Again, one more time, Perikei Pasuk Aleph. Divrei Hayamim Perikei Pasuk Aleph, a new topic of Nei Ruvain. We are still the people talking that discuss the genealogy of the Jewish people. We're going to the Shvat, and we've gone through, so far, only two of the 12 tribes. We've gone to the Yichus of Yehuda, in very great detail, and then once we've gone to Yehuda, we've also gone through Shimon, we discussed last week, because Shimon is very much related to Yehuda in many ways, shapes, and forms, when we discussed Chodesh Av. In our third section, we discussed the deep relationship between Yehuda and Shevet Shimon in time and space, and in the Midos, the two are connected. Now we go to a new Shevet, Shevet Ruvain. Ruvain, in fact, was the Bechor. Ruvain Bechori Ata, Koichi Vereshis Oini Yeser, Seis Vieser. Oz. Yes, sir. It says the yes. Just to know that in the Yeshiva times, has to memorize the Birchas Yaakov. All right, but let's see. V'nei Ruvain b'char Yehuda Yisrael. So the pasuk here gives us a very interesting synopsis. It's fascinating what this pasuk does. You can learn Chumash your whole life. You can learn Chumash Bereishis, and you'll never put the pieces together like it does for you here in this pasuk. The B'nai Ruvain is B'chahu's Ruvain, so the Pasuk tells us he is the B'char Yisrael, he is the firstborn of Yisrael. Notice here he's B'chol Yisrael, not Yaakov. We once discussed that. We discussed that when we began Sefer, the beginning of Divrei Hayamim. The Klal Yisrael and Divrei Hayamim is referred to as Yisrael because Yisrael represents the idea of Shleimus, of the Geula. And the purpose of Divrei Hayamim is to usher in the period, the era of Yemos HaMashiach. It was an inspirational sefer to the Klal Yisrael should recognize that they're coming to a period of time where they're going to build the Bayis Sheni, they're going to build the walls of Yerushalayim, and by doing so, they're going to prepare themselves for the coming of Mashiach. The period of Klal Yisrael reaches its highest level of Yisrael, no longer the lower level of Yaakov. So here we have Ruvain is the Bukhar, he's the Bukhar of Yisrael, Kihu HaBukhar. Pasuk makes it very clear. Don't make any mistake about it. Ruvain is the Bechor. However, if he's really the Bechor, there are two questions. Why are his children not the kings? Why did Malchus come from Yehuda? And why did Yosef, did his children receive a double portion of the land? Yaakov gave a bracha to Yosef that your two children, Ephraim, that you will be divided. You are one of my sons, but I'm giving you a double portion. You will be divided into two, Ephraim and Menashe, and each one will get an equal portion of the land. So everyone knows this concept that a Bechor is entitled to receive pi shenayim, double portion. Today, do firstborns take a double portion? Very controversial topic. Some do, some don't. By Hasidim, I don't know, you shouldn't really generalize. There are definitely group segments of Klal Yisrael that the firstborn does demand their double portion in the Yerusha. There is such a thing. Many people today do feel that if you want World War III to break out, it's better that you be meichel on the Pishnayim, and there's a living will. That's really done when it's from the parents, and there are all other different considerations. However, there is something called a Pishnayim, and if Reuven is the Bechor, Reuven similarly should have received a double portion in Eretz Yisrael. Yet we know that Reuven did not. Instead, the double portion went to Yosef. So basically, the pasuk here is addressing that we have really three firstborns. We have Reuven, who is the biological firstborn. We have Yehuda, who received the right of Malchus, of leadership. And we have the third firstborn, who we're considering the firstborn of Yosef, whose children received a double portion, Ephraim and Menashe. And that is what these two psukim are now addressing. Uvechalalo Yitzuyei Aviv, when Reuven profaned the couch, Yitzuyei means the couch of his father, Nitna Bichoy Raso, the Bichoy was given Livnei Yosef, then Yisrael. The firstborn right was given to Yosef, then Yisrael. V'lo lihisyaches la b'chayor. There are different two interpretations of what this means. We'll learn now for the moment that Yosef is not really considered to be the firstborn. The real, it's just that he got a double portion of land, of possessions, of assets. but not the spiritual essence of being the firstborn. And this is something which is lost from us, and I don't know exactly what this means, but the pasuk here makes it very clear. Receiving land, assets, is not the essence of being the firstborn. Being the firstborn has a spiritual quality. They are the heir to the spiritual legacy of their father. So Yaakov Avinu obviously is the third of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu Mitosa Shleima, he is the perfection of Klal Yisrael, he is the Shleimus of Klal Yisrael. And that legacy, that spiritual legacy, is going to be passed on to his children. And the oldest child is basically, I don't really have a grasp of what this means, but the oldest child represents Yaakov in being the link to Klal Yisrael. And the other brothers, when they want to take pride in their legacy, that they are children of Yaakov Avinu, that we are Klal Yisrael, we are the children of Yaakov Avinu, whose image is engraved on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Chazal said, that the Dumus Tiyuknoi of Yaakov Avinu is etched into the Kisei HaKavod. Which channel, I mean the same words, through which channel do the 12 children connect to Yaakov? And the answer is, they connect to Yaakov through Reuven. Reuven is the one that has the greatest, I guess we could say, the greatest sensitivity to the legacy of Yaakov Avinu. They were sitting together at the table. Who would sit Barosh? Who sits at the head? Who says, who leads the Tish? Who's the Rebbe? Can make believe the 12 brothers are coming together to a Hasidish Tish. Who is giving out Shirayim? Who is the one that is going to say the Drasha? Is going to be the Rosh HaMedabrim to give over the spiritual legacy of Klal Yisrael? It's going to be Reuven. Now, when it comes to assets, who has bank accounts? Can you go to the bank and who has all the bank statements and has all the land? That's going to go to Yosef. And then there's one more brother, which we have to really go through in more detail. That's going to be Yehuda. He makes the decisions for the family, for Klal Yisrael. It's like in America, there's a balance of power, checks and balances, different branches of government. Klal Yisrael has three branches: Reuven, Yosef, and Yehuda. And to a certain degree, each branch, it keeps the others in check. No one should overstep their power. Reuven is the spiritual legacy. Yehuda makes the decisions. He's in charge. He's the one that signs the checks. But the one who controls the bank is Yosef. Yosef bankrolls Klal Yisrael. He has a double portion in the assets of Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
Two questions. If not for Reuven's supposedly moving the bed of Bilbo,
yeah,
he had gotten all three. That's my first question.
It's seemingly yes. The answer is yes. That's what the pasuk here seems to indicate. Well, I'm not 100% sure. That's because he showed that he was not Roy. It's not for us to say these words, but by his actions show that he did not have the characteristics, the qualities of leadership that were necessary, where one person can be trusted with full, complete power, and therefore it had to be taken away. We find that today. You look at these different organizations, these different institutions. Well, you have a very great, dynamic leader who runs an organization for many, many years, and then he retires, and they can't find a person to replace him. A person that has all of those qualities that person had. So what do? They break it up. It's very common that we're going to hire two or three people to do basically what this one person did. And they break it up, and you'll be in charge of this, and you'll be in charge of that, and you'll work together, and you'll hope. We'll hope for a miracle that everything will work out nice and fine. Yeah.
Second question. Is there any truth to the possibility that deep in his heart, Yaakov Avinu loved Rachel all those years, and he saw everything?
It's a pasuk.
And deep in his heart, not for the fact that he had to marry Leah, even obviously
That's right. Yes, that is true. That is what. It's true. I'm going to read you a medrash in a few moments. That is absolutely true. Yes, that it was meant to be. Yosef was meant to be everything. It was meant to be that Yaakov would have married Rachel, only Rachel. We learned last week, and Esav would have married Leah, and Klal Yisrael would come from, of course, only from Rachel. Rachel could very well have been that she would have 12 tribes, and the firstborn was meant to be Yosef, and Yosef was meant to be the triple head of Klal Yisrael. All three characteristics: a bechor in assets, a bechor in the spiritual heir to Yaakov, and a bechor in malchus, in making the decisions. That was meant to be. However, things did not work out. Leah got married first, and Leah had children, as the Chazal said, because she was mispalel. She was kodam Rachel berachane, in mercy. She had Reuven. Reuven was the firstborn. So Reuven was now meant to be. Have all three. What did Reuven do? So let's now discuss this idea. He went and he moved the couch of Yaakov. He moved it that after Rachel died. So Reuven expected, while Rachel was alive, Yaakov Avinu decided that his main dira, his main dwelling, shall be the tent of Rachel. Now Yaakov had four wives: Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. After Rachel died, Reuven, or maybe not only Reuven, maybe all of the children expected that Yaakov would now make the tent of Leah his primary dwelling place. But he chose not to. Instead, he chose to make this primary dwelling place Bilhah, the tent of Bilhah, which was the handmaid, the maidservant of Rachel. So Leah's children were very insulted. They said it's bad enough that Rachel has to be a tzahah during her lifetime, was a tzara, was a co-wife, was a source of pain to our mother. Now that Rachel has died, is it fair that Rachel's servant shall replace our mother, and she shall be a tzara, a source of pain to our mother Leah? So they were very insulted. Reuven was so insulted, he took things and matters into his own hands, and he actually took the bed of Yaakov. We don't know exactly what this means, but he took the bed of Yaakov Avinu, he took it out of the tent of Bilhah and put it in the tent of Leah to tell his father, this is where you are going to live. You're not going to live in this tent, you're going to live in that tent. And that was considered to be a very great sin. The Torah describes it in graphic terms, as if that Reuven, he lived with Bilhah, which Chazal tells us is not to be taken literally. It doesn't mean that. There are only seven midrashim, what it means, not for now. But it was considered to be a very great sin that he went too far. And this, Chazal explained, Farshim explained, is really the reason, is the reason why he lost his role as the triple leader of all three branches of leadership, because a leader has to know, this is a critical leadership 101 course in leadership. I go for an MBA, I have to know how to be a leader, how to direct. You have to know your limits. You have to know where to stop. You can lead and you can give orders, you can domineer and control, but every leader has their limits. Don't overstep your bounds. Reuven went too far. He's the leader. He's everything. He was going to get Pishnayim. He was going to be the Melech. He's going to be the spiritual heir to Yaakov Avinu. Excellent. But you have to know, there are, even you who have everything, there are limits. Don't go too far. Deciding where your father sleeps, this tent, that tent, that's none of your business. That already was too far. That indicated you're not roy to be the leader. Because you don't know your limits, right? You can go criticize all the presidents of the United States and saying, you know, Adkan, don't enact different laws, which you know, there are things, don't go too far. In the news, a lot of things going on. The news say monitoring people's private lives. You got to know, you got to be careful what not to do. And that was a mistake. Chazal criticized, the Torah criticized him for this. And therefore, leadership was taken away from him, not entirely. He still considered the Bechor as the spiritual heir to Yaakov. He's going to lead the Tish. He's going to give the Shalashuris Torah. He's going to say the Shalashuris Torah when we went out, and he's going to give out the Shirayim. Yes, that he gets, but he doesn't make decisions. Malchus will come from Yehuda, and assets, Mamon, Yosef's in charge of the bank. He lost that. That's what the Pasuk here says. Yeah.
It starts with Yehuda and goes to Shimon.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
The safer here starts with discussing.
Right.
And goes discussing.
Goes back. Right.
Why didn't it discuss Reuben before?
So we learned this. We discussed at great length last week because Shimon is related. Shimon and Yehuda are very much connected. We gave different examples, but the two go together in many ways. They're like a team. They're a team. Each one needs. Shimon desperately needs Yehuda for support, and therefore they're always grouped together. So that's why. But now we come to. So let's review the psukim again very quickly. So now that we've laid out these ideas, let's review over here these three branches of leadership that we discussed. Of Reuven, Bechor, Yisrael, Kihu HaBechor. Reuven is the Bechor. The pasuk makes it very, very clear. Even though you know Chumash. You know Chumash, and you know that Reuben really gets nothing. He was taken away the Pishnayim. That went to Yosef. And he lost Malchus. The Pasuk here makes it very clear, don't learn like that. It's not true. Reuben is, was, and always will be the firstborn. And that has implications. It means, spiritually speaking, he is the heir to the spiritual legacy of Yaakov Avinu. All of the other 11 brothers, when they connect to Yaakov, it has to be channeled, again I'm saying words, through Reuven. He is the Bukhar, ki hu al-Bukhar. However, uvichalaloi, when he profaned Yitzu'ei Aviv, the couch of his father, when he took it from the tent of Bilah to the tent of Rachel, nitina b'choy raso, his firstborn right in assets, in being Yerush, the land was given Livnei Yosef ben Yisrael, but v'lo lehisyaches la b'chayra. And this simply means, similar is that not that Yosef is the b'char. He's not the b'char. The pasuk is repeating itself. Making it very clear. Yosef is not the b'char. It's just that he got the double portion. Now we'll learn a little bit more in a few moments in the Rashi and the Medrash. Then there's the third branch of Klal Yisrael, the third branch of leadership. Ki Yehuda gavar be'echov. Yehuda prevailed over his other brothers. Ulinogid mimenu. Now those two words have to be read together. A kingship. Nogid means a prince. Greatness mimenu came from him, from Yehuda. Yehuda showed qualities of leadership, and once it was taken away from Reuven, these qualities of leadership were given to Yehuda. Vehabichayra. And the right of receiving a double portion, only that went Yosef. Let's see the Mitzudos and Rashi and the Medrash. A lot of things going on here in this pasuk. Pasuk Aleph. Kihu HaBuchar. Rotzu Leimar. Im Kihu HaBuchar. Although he was the biological firstborn, V'hoya Im Kein Neharoi LaHazkir Yichusay Rishon, he should have been mentioned in the first, he should have been the first one. So, the way the Mitzvah learns is that really, Reuven should have began Sefer Divrei Hayamim with the Yichus of Reuven. However, the reason why he's third and not first, Uvichaloi Avol Be'eish Shechilal Ubiza, he profaned and disgraced Yitzuyei Aviv, the couch of his father, Ubilbala, and he confused his father, Lebal Yehi Motsu Tadr Eitzel Bilah, that his father should not go to the tent of Bilah, but rather should go to the tent of his mother, of Leah, Oz Nilkecha, that was a mistake, which cost him his firstborn right. Oz Nilkecha HaBachayra Me'imo, Venin L'Yosef, it was given to Yosef, L'Yos Noitel Pishnai. Only thing that was taken from Reuben in this respect was his right to receive the double portion. What was the firstborn right? The firstborn right was that one of the 12 shvatim will be divided into two separate shvatim. That was meant to go to Reuven. Reuven, two of his children would have had an equal portion to Eretz Yisrael, firstborn right. Instead, that was transferred to Yosef, was given to Ephraim and Menashe. Not that Yachas means to be linked, to be given the yichus, the actual title of Bukhara, lo sheyeh Yosef miyuchus lebukhara mikol v'kol. This does not mean that Yosef was given the firstborn right entirely. Not so. The way the Metzilus learns is that the way the word the Bukhar here is being used in the second part of the pasuk means that Yosef did not get the full rights of leadership, that he's even going to have malchus, but rather Yehuda will get that. Ki Yehuda govar be'echav bedvar hamalucha. Concerning the Malucha, Gavar Yehuda Mikol Echav, Ulinogid Mimenu. Now those two words must be read together, meaning Rotzaloimar, Lahamid Nogid, with regard to establishing a prince, Umelech and a king, Al Yisrael, Omar Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu said, Sheyehei Mimenu, it shall come from Yehuda. Yehuda was the one who showed leadership capabilities. Yehuda was the first one to jump into his nasi, was the first one to jump into the yam. The yam split when the nasi of Yehuda jumped into the sea. Yehuda was the one that admitted to his mitzek, tzadka mimeni. He was the one that said, that's a very great quality of leadership, to admit your mistakes. To admit your mistakes when Tamar said that I am pregnant from the one that is the owner of these simonim, and he admitted, indeed, tzadka mimeni, he proven himself to be a leader. V'habuchayra bedvar nachlas hashvatim he levad nina liyosef. The next words of the Mitzudas with regard to receiving the portion that was given to Yosef, ha'omer, like as it means to say, hinei al kilo nishar ma min hamayla l'ruvein. Although nothing was left, none of the advantages of being a firstborn were left to Ruvein. L'ze amru ad ko v'hiktim liyehuda mibnei kvod hamalucha. That's why we gave him the Malucha, the Malchus came to him first, he got the Malchus, and that's why his Yichus is listed in the beginning of the Sefer before we list the Yichus of Ruvain. Okay, then he goes on to describe the Yichus, which we'll get to in a few moments. Let's see the Rashi's very quickly. Rashi Paskalif and Ruvain Bukhar Yisrael Vim Taimar. Rashi is the question. If it's true that Ruvain really is the Bukhar, Lama lo yotza menu malchus. Kihu bivadai habukhar. He was the firstborn. The answer is, Uvichalo Yitzuyaviv, Nidna Bukharasul Livne Yosef. Vim Taimar. If Yosef got this right to receive the portion, Imkain Lama lo malchus. Yosef, bnei Yosef. Why didn't Yosef get the third power, the third branch of malchus, the third branch of leadership of malchus? L'kachamar v'lo lehisyaches l'b'chayra chelik b'chayra soy. Not that his firstborn portion gives him the right to be malchus. V'loy b'char ki Yehuda, but Yehuda would be the b'char in that regard. Afilu lechilul Ruvain ha-b'chayra. So according to Rashi is telling us something very, very powerful, that even had Ruvain not done this averi, he would not have received malchus. Afilu lechilul Ruvain ha-b'chayra v'loy nigulcham menu afilu hachi hoya hogun Yehuda l'melech. This how Rashi was. Rashi is saying something very powerful. He's saying a very big chiddush. You have to look at all the Mishnah with Rashi. According to Rashi, it was never meant to be that Reuven would be the Melech. Even though Reuven was the firstborn, and the firstborn normally has all the rights, does not in this case. Malchus was never meant to come from Reuven. The Nogid Mimenu refers to Yehuda. The only thing Reuven should have really received was a double portion in the land that he did not receive because of the chait of Uvechillo Yitzuye Aviv. Okay, now Pasuk Beis and Rashi. Ki Yehuda Gavar Biachav Shnemar Gur Arye Yehuda. We learn that Yaakov Avinu, he recognized that Yehuda is a lion. A lion has certain leadership capabilities. It's the Gibor Sheba, it's the Melech of the Chayos, it's the king of the animals. Therefore, Yaakov recognized these qualities in Yehuda. Nogid menu sheyetzim menu malchus. Gal shem kach nikra hamelech nogid. A king is called a nogid. Shehu hamoitzi v'hanevi. He's the one that takes the Jewish people out and brings them in. Ve'abuchay v'hamalchus nidla meruvein. The firstborn right, the malchus taken from Reuven. V'nidla hamalchus to Yehuda was given to Yehuda. K'dosik Yehuda gavar biyachav. Aval chelik habuchay v'nidla l'vnei Yosef l'shnei bonav. B'nei Ruvain B'chor Yisrael, Maschil Ata, Kabarishon. Now we begin to describe, that's Pasuk Gimel, we'll get to in a few moments. So let's go to the Medrash. You do not have this in front of you. I want to read you a Gemara. It's not a Gemara, this is a verse of Gemara. You don't have, what, yeah?
We don't learn that B'chorah, besides getting a double point, is Melech and spiritual.
Is Melech and spiritual? I don't know. I mean, that's what Rashi is alluding to. Rashi seems to contradict himself, if you notice. In the first Rashi, I just want to point this out, in the first Rashi, because you brought this up, the first Rashi, says, V'loi l'kachanem v'loi l'tzachas l'b'char v'chelik b'char v'loi b'char ki Yehuda afilu lo chilal ruvin ha-b'chara v'loi nilkecha mimenu afilu hachi ha-yehogun Yehuda l'melech. And then Rashi, Pasuk Bey says, V'hamalchus nitla me'ruvein was taken away from Ruvein. V'nitna hamalchus li'Yehuda. So in the first Rashi seems to say that the malchus was never meant to go. Exactly what you said. It was never meant to be for Ruvein. And in the second Rashi seems to say, and it was. It was taken away from Ruvein, who seemingly has a divine right. He's the firstborn. He is the firstborn, and was given instead to his brother Yehuda. Okay, I don't know how to reconcile these two Rashi's of making a correct diuk. I don't know the answer to your question. It does seem from these two psukim to summarize that there are three branches of power. Let me jump right away to another medrash. The medrash says, this is the medrash Tanchuma. Okay, I'm jumping down. B'yichus lo yochol la'akar b'chayrasay mimenu. With regard to yichus, now I don't know exactly how this medrash, what it means, yichus. Yichus we translate literally genealogy. But here he obviously has a much more powerful connotation. With regard to yichus, lo yochol Yaakov la'akar b'chayrasay mimenu from moving. He did not have the power to take away this thing called yichus. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, in Shemos, he's quoting the Pasuk in Shemos, B'nei Ruvain, who is Ruvain? Bechor Yisrael. And the Medrash goes on to make a drasha, another Pasuk, Ki Hu Hoya HaBechor, the Pasuk in there in Shemos, the Perikvav, Pasuk Yedalit concludes that Ruvain was the Bechor, Ki Hu Hoya HaBechor. Ki Hu Hoya HaBechor Ein Ksivkan, Ela Kihu HaBechor. It says in the Pasuk, Ruvain Bechor Yisrael, he is the Bechor. It doesn't say that he was the Bechor. So this Medrash in the Tanchum is making a point in telling us that there is something left over for Ruvain even though he sinned. He sinned, he was mechalel the Yitzui Aviv, he lost two things, but the Medrash says, but he retained one element of being the firstborn. And what is that? That is the title, but it's more than just the title, it represents that he is the heir to the spiritual legacy of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is, like we said before, he is the Shlemus of Klal, he saw this image as Esh on the Kisya Kavod. And that is a very great legacy which he gives over to Klal Yisrael. And everyone in Klal Yisrael, when they want to connect themselves to Yaakov Avinu, it has to go through our older brother, our firstborn brother. He's in charge. He's the Balabas. That's one branch of leadership. Then there is the branch of leadership called the Malchus, making decisions. And then there is the branch of leadership, the Bechor, of who gets a double portion of the assets of Klal Yisrael, and that goes to Yosef. Now let's go through some of the Midrashim. The Midrashim, a lot of...
This is in complete contrast to Yaakov himself. When he took over the Bechorus, so to speak...
And everything, exactly. Right, Niskanu Hadoyos. Exactly. You find this, and this is exactly. Look what goes on in this world. You always see that you have a very successful leader of a major institution, and when they retire, their job is broken up into many people. You find that. They try to break up the roles.
In his mind, ruled Yosef to be the leader from day one. That's why he gave him the Ksonis Pasim, and so on and so forth.
But it didn't work. That was right in his mind. Okay, in his mind.
Since he meant to marry Rachel.
Okay, so we're going to mention that in the Medrash. Right, we're going to mention that in the Medrash. Okay, so let's go through a few Midrash very quickly. First Medrash, you don't have this in front of you. This is the Gemara Babash. Let me read it slowly. Just a few different parts of the Gemara. Boy mine Rabbi Chelboy mine Rabbi Yishmael ben Achmeni. Moro Yaakov shenot al b'chor meruvin v'nitna li Yosef. Question. Why did Yaakov do this? Why did Yaakov Avinu take away the firstborn right, at least for a double portion, and for Malchus, and give it to, or here it's focusing on Yosef? So he said back, what's your question? Mora? It's a Peferish Apostolic. What kind of question are you asking? No, let me rephrase my question. Elamora Yeshanina Li Yosef. Very good. Ruvain sinned. Reuven went too far. He showed that he's not deserving to be the full firstborn. But now that you're going to give away a double portion, you have 11 candidates. Why Yosef more than the other children? And the answer is, okay, I'll read it, I'll tell you outside. A person raises a child, a yosom, takes the child from the street, doesn't have a penny to his name, and he raises him and cures him. And then the child matures, he gets married, goes out into the world, and becomes a multi-billionaire. Very successful. So what does the child do? The child says, I want to go back and repay my foster father. I want to repay him for what he did for me. He was kind to me. He raised me. He took me in from the street. So you go back and you repay what you owe. So the Medrash is a fascinating Medrash, says that Yaakov Avinu, the father, relative to Yosef, was like an oni to a foster father. Because Yaakov Avinu was living in Canaan with his family, and there was a famine. And they didn't have what to eat. They were starving. Who supported them during this difficult period of time? Yosef. So now, when Klal Yisrael developed, and Yaakov Avinu's time came to leave this world, and he's now going to give gifts of Eretz Yisrael, who is he going to thank? He's going to thank the host. He's going to thank the one that supported him all during these years. So therefore, it was payback. Payback to Yosef, who supported his father in the difficult times. That is the first interpretation. Now, along comes the Gemara. The Gemara says, I'm not happy with this. Does this mean to say what would have been in the case if Yosef, if Reuven, would not have sinned? Very nice. You're telling me here that Yosef gets a double portion because Yosef did kindness with Yaakov. He supported Yaakov and supported his family. But the only reason why Yosef is getting a double portion is because Reuven sinned. What would have happened had Reuven not sinned? Then Reuven would have been entitled to receive a double portion, because Reuven gets... Then how would Yaakov have paid back Yosef for his kindness? V'i lav d'chotah Reuven lo mahani li Yosef lo midam, would get nothing? So therefore, because of this question, the Gemara gives a new answer. And the answer is... The Gemara rejects this answer.
He doesn't have to pay back.
He doesn't have to pay back. It's...
He was 17, so the first 17 years Yaakov supported him. The last 17 years of his life was just payback.
Payback. Already was payback.
Exactly 17. Okay. 17. It was an extra.
Okay, very good, very good. It was 17. So the Gemara rejects this.
Okay,
very interesting. 17 to 17. So the Gemara rejects this.
Yes.
So those 17 years,
he supported him. And what really go wrong at the end was he said, "Oh no, Chiyach Hakelus." And he didn't give credit to God for doing it, and that's why the next pasuk is that he was died.
Is it 17 from the time they arrived in Mitzrayim?
Yes.
Or 17?
17 from the time they look, but he's pushing the issue. So they 17 from the time they arrived in Mitzrayim.
But prior to that, he supported. So it's not
70. But Yaakov, a lot of Mepharshim in the Gemara tell you that Yaakov didn't need the food. He just wanted to avoid looking like he had enough and people would descend upon him. I mean, that's one of the Mepharshim. There's Mepharshim for everything.
Okay, so the Gemara rejects this interpretation because it's one thing. It's one thing I owe you. You've done with me kindness. I have to repay you for the kindness. That's all fine and good when you're giving from yourself, but it's not fair to take away something that belongs to someone else. This second portion really belonged to Reuven. So if Reuven would not have sinned, how then would Yaakov Avinu have repaid Yosef for his kindness? So the answer must then be, then the truth is that Yaakov did not need to repay Yosef for his kindness, or he maybe repaid it for his kindness in another way, another form. So why then did Yosef get the portion of Reuven? And that the Gemara answers, because, we will mention this, because Yaakov Avinu wanted to marry only Rachel. And the firstborn from Rachel was Yosef. Yaakov was tricked. Lavan gave him Leah instead of Rachel. He never had intent that Reuven should be his firstborn. This was not part of his original plan. So now, now Yosef is just getting what he really is entitled to from the very beginning. So let me read you: Ela Omar Ela Ruuya Haisa Bechora Latze Smi Rachel Tchsev Ela Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Yosef was meant to be the firstborn. He wanted to only marry Rachel. Ela shehik shekidamta Leah berachamim. What happened was that Leah got married first, and Leah was mispalel, and she was able to have children before Rachel. But now Yosef is getting what was really meant to be from the very beginning. Okay, then there's another medrash that says, that we said that before. That was the same thing. Okay, that pretty much, we'll leave it with that. There are other things, but let's leave it there. Now, let's go to the next psukim. So, just to summarize, we've learned only two psukim. Yeah?
Could we say that everything that happened was really the way that Hashem wanted it to wind up? He's teaching us a lesson that the Bechor is only if he deserves that
person. Yeah.
And if you have children, it's only if your Bechor deserves to get. Pishnayim should be the head of the family.
How could a person say who deserves?
It's up to the parent to say, you know what? Even though he's my eldest, I have younger kids that are better than him.
So a person, that's a living will.
That's being honest.
The Gemara says that's a living will. The Torah is giving us direction that, generally speaking, by default,
you can override,
but when you override it, the Gemara discusses the right thing to do. The Gemara says, even though from your point of view that the younger children are better, you do not know what will come from them. You do not know about the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. It can very well be that the great-grandchildren, the great-great-great-great-grandchildren of the firstborn, who's an Isvarf, they will far outdo the great-great-grandchildren of the younger children. So the person does not know. Therefore, the default is Hashem made a decision. The firstborn right goes to the oldest.
You can say the same thing about Reuven.
Yeah.
His great-great-grandchildren.
So it appears that they saw Piruach HaKodesh, that they saw what would come from the future. I don't know the answer.
Or maybe you have to judge.
Now, yeah, you can't look down into the future. You have to judge right now. Okay, you have both. The Torah gave us a general direction. However, a person does have power to always override and do things the way he wants. Okay, so we're finished. Very powerful concept. When we started today, we said, you can learn Chumash your whole life. You'll never realize that there are three branches of government in the Jewish people. There is the Medrash calls Yichus, which I'm translating to mean the spiritual legacy of Klal Yisrael that has to be channeled, and the Moshe I gave you is he's the spokesman. Reuven is the spokesman for Klal Yisrael. When they sit together at a tish, who's the Yoshev Rosh, who's the Rashiv of the 12 brothers? It's Reuven. Reuven's the Rashiv, not Levi. Levi, they're the Gaboyim. They run the show. They run the Beis HaMikdash. But Reuven is the Bechor. Like you see this Chassidus Rebbes. You know, the Bechor is the Bechor. That's the way it goes. That's the Yichus. Then there is assets, money. Money went to Yosef. That's all it says. Pishnayim, the land, Eretz Yisrael. They said the land, Eretz Yisrael, Pashto Aschan. This is Moshe Rabbeinu want the fruits. It's the Kedusha Asa'aris. There's something about that. There's something about the Kedusha as well. And the third concept is Malchus. Three very different branches of leadership in Klal Yisrael, which Yaakov divided and we have these ideas coming together. There was a sin which shows that you're not roif a malchus, you overstepped your bounds. We have this idea of paying back Yosef. He was generous. Hu hamas spir, you have to reciprocate. And we have, that's a very important meter. The person has money, has wealth. You have to know how to give it out, not just to keep it for yourself. Yosef proved himself. He knew how to do that. And Yehuda, leadership, malchus, yoytze v'nichnas. There's something to that as well. Yeah.
It's hard. I don't know if I can speak in defense of Reuven. I mean, Reuven seemed to have gotten a raw deal. Reuven, after all, he may have stepped out of bounds. However, for one, I mean, Leah is Arab. We have Arab imahot.
Correct.
Shisha imahot. And indeed, Tamar, you mentioned Yehuda, Tzadka Mimeni. What did Tamar say? The whole thing is that Tamar is telling Yehuda that he should have given Shayla to me. And I mean, that's also, that's a similar type of thing. You didn't give me Shayla, and look what she did. She was
okay, you're asking big questions. You're asking tough stuff.
What he's doing is worse than
lost his, I'm surprised it doesn't mention over here. When it says, Vayishma Ruvain, Vayatilei Miyodom, Melon HaKenu Nofesh. So what did he say? So you think he's going to say that we'll save him. But he said, Hashlicho also alabor azeshe
b'mibar.
Without really putting your hands on him, the snakes and the scorpions will kill him. So that's a decision. You know, that's it's worse than a left-handed compliment. You know what I mean? He tried to save him, but he made
but to a certain degree, to a certain degree, he did try to save him.
I mean, the Gemara is a shot for everything, and that's all.
Yes, a very good question. In the big picture of things, there are serious sins and there are less serious sins. The Torah seems to indicate that for leadership, this sin was significant, that he lost his leadership. Not that the other sins, in their role, their intended role, they were unfit due to this particular sin. That's what, okay, that's how we leave it. Okay, let's just do let's get started, and then we'll just a few psukim, and then we'll stop. Pasuk Gimel. B'nei Ruvain, who is B'nei Ruvain? B'chor Yisrael, four children. Chanoich, Ufalu, Chetzron, V'charmi. Pasuk Dalet. B'nei Yoyel, who in the world is Yoyel? Okay, so this is another example of where you have a different, where you have someone who comes in the middle of nowhere, not connected, he's just thrown in the middle. Some want to learn that Yoel is the son of Karmi. Chaim, he's his son. Others say, no, Yoel is a descendant. He's not a son of Charmi. He's a great-great-grandson of Charmi, whatever he is. Who is his children with Bnei Yoel? Shemaya Vino, Goig Bino. That's not Goig, that's not the Malchus of Goig Magog. That's a different Goig. And Shimi Vino. The same, these are all children one after the other. Yoel's son was Shemaya, Shemaya's son was Gog, and Gog's son was Shimi. Then Shimi had a son, Micha Vino, Reoya Vino, Baal Vino, Pasig Avav. That's what we're going to... Be'era Vino, the son of Baal was Be'era. Who was Be'era? Asher Hegla Tilgas Pil Ne'eser, Melech Ashur. He was exiled. He was, Be'er was living at the time of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, before Chizkiyo HaMelech. He was exiled by Pil Ne'eser Melech Ashur, who Nasi L'Ruveni, and this person, Be'er, was the Nasi of Shevet Ruvein at that critical time in history when they were exiled. Let's see Rashi Pasik Beitz, Pasik Dalet, B'nei Yoel, Doiroi Storos Kochosh, Pasik Vav, Asher Hegla, Til Ges, Pilne Eser. Now we are much more familiar with this person from Sefer Yeshaya and Sefer Melachim as not Tilges, but rather Tiglas. The letters have been interchanged. So it says, and there must be some very big significance, I do not know, but over here it's a common, it's very common to have the same person and the letters changed slightly. So here, and also it's not Pil Ne'eser, we have it
Pil Eser.
We don't have the Nun, Pil Eser. The Nun is extra. Nebuchadrezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, they were pronounced, they were known differently as times. As times change, they know differently. So here, Rashi just points out that there were many kings from the nation of Ashur. We are the most familiar with Sancheriv Nelech Ashur, when he was killed, when his army was killed, he ran away. That was pretty much the end of the nation of Ashur. That is when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. That was it. So he was pretty much the last of the kings of Ashur. Who was before him? So Rashi gives a whole history of the nation of Ashur. Koidem Lissancheriv. This person, Tilgas Pilne Eser, was before Sancheriv. V'chein Hoyos Sidron. Let me tell you a history of the order of the kings. The first king that we come into contact with in Tanakh is Pul. And Sefer Melachim, there was a king called Pul. Pul Melech Ashur. Pul wanted to go to war against the Jewish people, and he was bribed. He was paid off by a king called Menachem. Pul Hoya, there was Pul, Kishamalach Menachem ben Gedi. Menachem ben Gedi was a king, was a Jewish king, a king of one of the kings of Israel. Uvimei Pekach ben Remalia, and now that was the first king. Who was the next king of Ashur? That was Tilgas Pilneser, or we know him there as Piglas Pilneser, and he was king at the time when Pekach ben Remalia. Vuhu vimei Pekach ben Remalia, but Tiglas during the time of Pekach ben Remalia, he was a Jewish king, he was king of Israel. That but Tiglas Pilneser Melech Ashur, uvimei Bishaya ben Ela, and he was during the time of Hoshea ben Ela was the Jewish king, and Pekach ben Remalia was another king from another nation. Ba then came Pekach ben Remalia was a Jewish king, and Tiglas Pilneser, that was the second king. And then let's go further. King number three was Hoshea ben Ela, another king of the Jewish people. Ba Shalmineser Melech Ashur, a third king of Ashur. Chizkiyahu Sancheriv, or Perish Rabban Rabbis of Pul v'Chulam Sancheriv. The Chazal explained all four of them, Pul and the two in between, and Sancheriv. So we have a grand total of four kings. First came Pul, then came Tiglas Pilneser, then came Shalmaneser, and then came Sancheriv. So the king that we have mentioned over here was Tiglas Pilneser. He lived right before, he lived two kings before Sancheriv, and he was the king that participated in the exile of the Aseres HaShvatim, and he was the first to go. Ruvain, Godi, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe, they were on the Aver HaYarden. They were the first ones to be exiled. They were exiled before Sancheriv, during that period of time, and he was the king. Now, before we conclude, it was very important to take note that this person, Be'era, who was the leader of Shevet Ruvain, and was part of the Golus, was a prophet. He was the father of Hoshea. Hoshea ben Be'eri. And in fact, he really would have got his own sefer. We know that there are treyos, there are 12 svarim. Why are they so small? Why are they all grouped together in one sefer? Because their prophets are so small, so we grouped them together. Be'era also had a prophecy, but his prophecy was so small, it did not even merit having a little sefer to be combined with the other 12. He only had two psukim. We are those two psukim in Perek Ches and Yeshai. Very good. You remember this very good. Perek Yeshai and Perek Ches. Pasik Yud Tes. I think it's Pasik. Pasik. Pasik Yud Tes. Here are the Pasik. The Pasik says. V'chiyom Ralechem Dirshu El Ho'evos V'el Hayid Oinim Ham. Tzavtzifim v'hamagim haloi am el elokov yidrosh shavtas, that's kodesh ochol v'ar hachayim el hamesim lissoyra v'lissuda im lo yoymu kadavor hazeh asher ein lo shohar. Those two psukim, pasuk yutes, pasuk chav, perik yishai, perik ches, these two psukim are the prophecy of Be'era, the father of Hoshea. Let me read the beginning of the Rashi in pasuk yutes. The Rashi says, Omar Rebbe Simoin, Be'era is Aviv Shel Hoshea, Ben Be'era, he's the father of Hoshea. Nibo Shnei Mikros Halalu. He prophesies these two psukim in Yeshaya, the Lohoya Bohem Kidei Sefer. two psukim is not enough that it deserves even a sefer like the small svarim of Treyasa. It's only two psukim. He said that don't follow in the ways of the Ovi the Yidonim, but rather Latoida, his emphasis was learn Torah. L'toiro l'su'uda. And that's why it's connected to the prophecy of Yeshayah here, because Yeshayah said the same thing. Tzor t'uda chasoim Torah b'limudoi. You shall connect yourself with Torah, connect yourself with students of Torah. So since the theme of Yeshayah in that pasuk of Tzor t'uda chasoim Torah b'limudoi is the same as the two psukim of Be'era, that's why they would juxtapose, they will combine one to the other. And that's what Rashi says. And this prophecy was said to the exiles, to telling them that the only way that you will survive in exile is by connecting yourself to Torah. To learn Torah, that will be the secret to Jewish continuity. And that's why it's connected. And in fact, the Medrash goes on to say that in his zuchus, the reason why he in his zuchus, the Aseres HaShvatim will return. Look what it says here in the Psik Rav Kahana. Why is it called Be'era? Shehu Be'era Shel Torah. He is a wellspring of Torah. Why did he die in exile? If he was a Be'era, a wellspring of Torah, Bishvil Sheyachzeru Aseres Hashvatim Bizchuso. In his merit, the Aseres Hashvatim will return. Fascinating medrash. So here we have over here in Divrei Hayamim, we learn about his yichus. He was the leader of Shevet Reuven at the time when Shevet Reuven was exiled by the king of Ashur, specifically Tilgas Pilne Eser. And in his zuchus they will return. He was a wellspring of Torah, and he prophesied two very powerful psukim teaching the Torah in Sefer Yeshayah, connected to two other psukim where Yeshayah also focuses on the chashivas of learning Torah. Okay, we'll stop.